and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Monday, March 27, 2017. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today is my powerful twin brother, John Abaya.
Hello, Blue Ranger. I don't know.
Is that your favorite character, Blue Ranger?
Yes. When I was growing up, the Blue Ranger was my favorite character.
Okay. Was there any reason why, actually?
I don't know, because he was a smart guy. I don't know. He's just like, okay. Yeah.
And our guest, he's a co-host for a couple of podcasts, The Long and Late Movie Show and Situation Podomy, returning guest, and always a delight to have Mr. Leighton Gordon.
Hey, everyone. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
What is your favorite Power Ranger while growing up?
I don't remember, but it was the black dude, of course.
So the Black Ranger, I believe. He is Black Ranger. Mine was always the Green Ranger, or Tommy for some people. I just thought his costume was cool. I don't know. That's about it. moving on. If you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week. And we conclude the episode with the main discussion. This week's main discussion is the film Saban. Power Rangers. So first, we have a trailer talk. This week's trailer just came out like a couple days ago, was Justice League.
Where are they?
Arthur Curry, the Aquaman. It's on him.
Organic and biomechatronic body parts. He's a cyborg.
You should probably move. Barry Allen.
Whoever you're looking for, it's not me. He's a Batman.
Directed by Zack Snyder, starring Ben Affleck, Gal Gadot, Jason Momoa, Ezra Miller, and Ray Fisher. There are several other stars I don't want to say, but those are like the main stars, it feels like, in this trailer of Justice League. From the synopsis from IMDb, fueled by his restored faith in humanity and inspired by Superman's selfless act, Bruce Wayne enlists the help of his newfound ally, Diane Prince, to face an even greater enemy. Leighton, two questions. What was your thoughts of Batman vs. Superman, The Dawn of Justice, and what are your thoughts about this trailer? And if you think it is a worthy of them to make this film, knowing that, you know, it seems like they're trying to catch up with Marvel's films.
I didn't like Batman vs. Superman. I thought it was very silly, the whole Martha thing. I just thought it was just overdone. I thought Ben Affleck was an okay Batman. But the movie itself, the storyline, the characters, just did not buy it. This trailer, there are things that I'm going in kind of not following a lot of what's going on blog-wise. So this trailer was kind of my first time seeing it. One of the things that did strike me was how terrible the cyborg CGI looks.
I agree.
It looks bad. And then, other than that, it's just, you know, the scenes of the characters looking cool. I don't have any idea who the villain is. There's something going on with Lois Lane. That I saw for one pixel, one frame that I was like, oh wait, whoa, that seems like a big deal, but other than that, you know, I'm still going to see this movie in theaters. I'm not so ruined on DC Marvel or DC WB movies to not see them in theaters. I mean, I'd probably not see the next Suicide Squad movie in theaters. But I'm still on this train. It looks like a big spectacle, and it looks like it could be cool.
Yeah, John, how about your thoughts?
Your same questions.
Your thoughts.
So I was kind of lukewarm with Batman versus Superman. I like the extended cut more, but it's very long. Explains the movie better, but just it felt very silly at times. And I kind of enjoyed the silliness of that movie, especially Ben Affleck's Batman, when he actually does like the Batman voice and say stuff in that voice. It just felt very silly throughout that movie. And it's what it is, I guess. It's the DC, I guess the way they do their movies are very different. And I enjoyed some of it. And this trailer, I kind of enjoyed it more, just seeing the banter among the superheroes. I think, like a lot of these characters in the DC, in this universe, I guess, they look better when they have other characters with them. They play better, I guess. Especially when you see, like, Aquaman talking to Bruce Wayne the way he does in this trailer. And I'm really looking forward to Jason Momoa character because I'm not really a huge DC fan, and I know nothing about Aquaman besides the fact that a lot of people make fun of him, especially because he just can talk to whatever sea creatures and stuff like that. And I really like how they show the Flash. I forgot his name. Ezra Miller.
Yes,
I'm interested in him, how he plays, because I don't know anything about Barry Allen, too. I watch some of the Flash TV show, and I get, like, the hint of him, like, he's very smart. But this one, they seem like he's playing as, like, a loner more. Doesn't seem like he has a lot of friends, but they still have that same storyline. I mean, I guess it's from the comic books with his dad in prison and stuff like that. So I guess it sets up his story, too, in this movie. The other stuff I was kind of surprised is Amber Heard as Mara. I didn't really knew that she was in the movie. I was kind of surprised about her, and it's kind of cool that she's in the movie. And yeah, the same thing, I'm predicting that Amy Adams scene in the trailer is her looking at Superman, because he, spoilers, he comes back alive or something.
Wait, you're telling me Superman comes back in this film?
Yes.
One would say Superman lives, yes.
Yeah,
oh, Superman lives. One would say Superman lives.
I won't be surprised if there's like a newspaper that says that. It's like, you know, shout out to Superman Returns newspaper scene.
Well, that's also a shout out to like Tim Burton's.
Oh, yes, Superman. Yes. But yeah, I'm more interested in this movie. Yeah, I agree with Leighton that Cyborg, whatever special effect they're using for that, does not look good. It literally is like he had half a face and just there. That's it. Like, it doesn't feel real at all. I feel like his costume's overdone. Like, they should have made it more, I don't know, like Iron Man-ish.
Minimal.
Yeah, minimal. I like Iron Man-ish. Like, just that style of more smoother lines instead of this, like, wired everywhere. Or, I don't know. He probably will have, like, a suit, because in this one, he turns into, like, an Iron Man with the helmet. I didn't know he could do that. I was like, oh, okay. My reference for Cyborg 2 is from Teen Titans Go, because my kids love that show. So that's the only thing I'm used to, seeing him with that style. But, yeah.
I think it kind of looks like the Terminator liquid metal on his body. It looks not good.
It's too shiny. Like, it's like how video games sometimes look too shiny. They did it really shiny.
They probably like asked the people from Injustice. No. That would be odd if that was the case. So I'm like probably the only one that actually kind of loves like Batman versus Superman because of the silliness. And I think the fact that I think it just showed Batman and Superman. That's why I was like very excited to watch that film. I mean, granted, I think the flaws are what, you know, people say they are. Like, I think they're, legit. But overall, I really liked that film. As for this trailer, like, I'm excited. Like, what you guys, I'm just echoing exactly what you guys are saying. Like, the Cyborg CGI, I guess you could say, isn't really that great. But they do have like 8 more months. I'm pretty sure they're going to spend all that money on that suit.
On Cyborg.
Cyborg himself. Even though they could have just done something much simpler than just what they're doing right now. It just seems odd that they had to design it that way and make it harder for themselves to create that suit. I'm really excited for the cast. I think the cast is really good as for like the actors, portraying these, I guess you could say, like some of the greatest like superheroes in comic books, you could say. But just seeing it on the big screen is really exciting for me. I know this has been like in works for like the past probably 3 decades. I remember there was a time when Adrian Brody was supposed to be the Flash. I don't know if you guys remember that at all.
No, I don't remember that at all.
And then like Common was supposed to be like, I don't know if he was supposed to be John Stewart or Cyborg at one point.
I think Green Lantern. Yeah, he was going to be.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So like, I remember.
Okay.
This is like. Yeah, this is over a decade ago. So
the building block was off of Superman Returns. Like that's the first step.
Yeah, but then when that failed, they were like, oh, let's just wait until The Dark Knight. So then when Dark Knight became like a successful hit, I think they rewrote everything about it. But yeah, I'm like, excited to watch it. I don't know what's going on in this film. It feels like it's a bunch of like
unspoken evil.
Yeah, like a bunch of like spectacles just put together. I mean, Zack Snyder, he always is more a visionary storyteller than a storyteller with words. I mean, even though I feel like his films like Dawn of the Dead was really cool and everything, but after that, I felt like all his other films were concentrating on the visual, even the visual effects mostly. They're really great desktop savers, I guess you could say. other than that, he's a good director. I think he could do amazing things if he only has good writers. Other than that, I don't think he's ever had like at least he has decent writers, but I don't know if he's either had like a writer like I can't think of one off the top of my head, Aaron Sorkin type of writer, I guess you could say. But yeah,
I got a quick question then for you guys. How about the fact that they like three of the characters have not had their own movie, or you know, four if you want to count Wonder Woman, but like three of the characters, you know, Flash, Cyborg, and Aquaman have not been shown to people on screen. I mean, people know Flash, I guess, maybe from the TV series, and he's probably the most famous of them, but nobody knows who Cyborg is, and well, other than, you know, kids. Yeah. And then nobody knows who, really, Aquaman.
Like, off that, like, the Cyborg, I think that's what they're trying to attract more, is that kid audience that, or at least teenagers who grew up with the Teen Titans and now are kind of like adults that know that character kind of. I mean, it's a whole different take of him. Yeah, then like the Flash is for that CW crowd. I don't know what the Aquaman, I guess Jason Momoa is attracting the people more than the actual character. I mean, the way he's portraying him, we never seen Aquaman at all in anything. And I mean,
unless there's
cartoon shows. Yeah, like cartoon shows, I guess. But
well, Smallville, I think he was appeared on Smallville.
But the way they're portraying him is this like huge guy that has like a duder type personality, especially in the trailer, like the way he talks to Batman. I was kind of surprised. His interaction with him.
I'm like, they're just playing catch up with Marvel, basically.
Yes.
I think doing this is like the only way they could bring out like this franchise to at least to its feet. I don't know if it's going to stand still in the upcoming decade. But yeah, I'm like disappointed that they have to like squeeze it all in one film. I mean, they could have just like even, I don't know. This is kind of weird like what they're doing right now. But they could have gave this more time, like at least a couple more years, and give out at least the Flash and Cyborg and, you know, Aquaman their own films.
That's one scene in Batman versus Superman with Flash. Somehow they have to explain that scene, because that doesn't make sense at all in that movie, unless there is a backstory of why he's time jumping or dimension hopping. I don't know what he's doing in there, but they have to like explain that. So I'm wondering if they're going to do that in this movie. Should I just, you know, connect it overall? I have a feeling they will have a weird ending in this movie where each character will go off, and then it shows like another story, like it's an offshoot to their stories, like to Aquaman and something, to like it's a before. I don't know how you explain that, like a before their movies, I guess. I don't know.
I lost it.
It's okay. Was that it?
Oh no, I was really surprised too of J. K. Simmons, Commissioner Gordon, because I thought they would like hide that, and they actually show it, and he's just playing it like the cartoon version of him. I was like, oh, with the beard or mustache, the hat, and everything. I was like, oh, okay, that's.
So better, he's like a muscular version of.
Gordon. He's been hitting the gym. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he might be fighting in this. I wouldn't mind if there's a Commissioner Gordon film before any of the other superheroes films.
You mean Gotham, Ben? No.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. You know what? I know what I was going to say. When you look at the amount of characters in this movie and the fact that they're going to have to do, like, you know, intro, make them look cool, in at least for one scene, this movie's minimum 3 hours. Minimum 3 hours long. It's going to be crazy.
Yes.
You're going to be in the theater for a very
like,
long time.
They even have a whole bunch of side characters like Mira and Commissioner Gordon, and then they kind of have to set that up in this universe to see like what type, because they're totally different from like the other source material they're taking. So I'm wondering about that too.
Who is, I don't know anything about like Mira, who is she in this mythos?
I'm assuming she is the wife or girlfriend of
Aquaman.
I don't really know.
I do know that Aquaman is supposed to at least have betrothed to someone, right?
Yes. I don't even know if Mira is like a Loki-like character. Like, she, you know, backstabs him later. I think Mira is a good person. I don't know. I feel dumb talking about it because I could have just researched this right now.
One thing I'm excited is I just want to hear each all those individuals' theme song. Like, you know, all of them has their own theme song now.
Oh, so. Yeah. I don't know what are, like, that'll be interesting, yeah.
Oh, by the way, the use of Come Together in that trailer. You know, I know they like doing, they did that for Suicide Squad and it really worked, but come on, man. Guys, come on.
I like how they don't even finish the lyrics, like, come together. Then they don't even, like, finish the song. I was like, oh, over me. And I was thinking, like, oh, I wonder if they're talking about Superman now. Other than that, I think that's our thoughts for Justice League. We'll be moving on to another, I guess you could say, quote-unquote, superhero film. This week's main discussion is Saban's Power Rangers.
Me and four kids found a spaceship buried underground. I'm pretty sure I'm a superhero.
Cool. Pee in that cup.
Power Rangers were a legion of warriors. You must become those warriors.
It's just a hologram, like a video game.
That's a strong-ass hologram.
Not a video game. No one man should
have all that power. You were born for this.
I will destroy everything.
She is pure evil.
How do you expect us to stop her?
It's morphin' time.
It is directed by Dean Israelite. It also stars, so I have to, like, practice his name because I don't really know how to say his name that well. Dake Montgomery. He's an Aussie. He's from Australia, apparently. Who plays the Red Ranger. Naomi Scott. RJ Seiler, or Kyler, I believe it is Kyler. Becky G. Lundy Lin, Bill Hader, Brian Cranston, and Elizabeth Banks. From IMDb, once again, this plot synopsis: a group of high school kids who are infused with unique superpowers harness their abilities in order to save the world. I don't know why I talked in it in that way. John. I know you and I grew up on Power Rangers, and particularly the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I know there's, like, so many offshoots from that original American. I have to say that it's an American adaptation to a Japanese show. What's your thoughts on these Power Rangers? And if anything, did it bring a sense of nostalgia with you?
My thoughts about the movie. Yeah, it brought a lot of nostalgia to me. It is a very silly movie, very campy. It's not too serious, but I love how each character portrays, or the way they portray each character, and you actually feel for each one of them. They actually have, like, a backstory. They actually pay attention. They build the character up a little bit, especially the Blue Ranger and... especially the Blue Ranger. I feel like without him, he was, like, the heart of the film. You actually care about him and everything. Some of the side stories, they do I always tell people, like, a breakfast club style of telling their backstories in this, like, campfire scene. And I really enjoyed that. It brought me, like, a little bit of tears, especially the Black Ranger story of how he's taking care of his mom and everything. I was like, oh, I feel for those people. And it's no lie. Like, back in the day, each Power Ranger was a different race, a different nationality. And they still do it here. But they kind of, like, they don't play the stereotype of each character. Like, you see in film and stuff. Each one plays it like an actual teenager you probably will see now in high school. Not the look-wise. Some of them look like adults. Especially the Zach character looks like an adult person. But I like that. How they portray those teenagers. I kind of like the story a little bit. It's very different from the TV show, and it caught me a little, not surprised, but it gives a good reason why Rita's there, and why Zordon's there, and why are they battling this threat on this Earth. And it makes me wonder how this, you know, this franchise will move on now. It feels like a Star Trek reboot, the same thing like a J.J. Abrams, and how they can take these characters, take their, you know, little takes of from the TV show and just, like, broaden it more. And I like how they do little shout outs to the TV show. There's one particular scene that in my crowd in the movie audience, everyone like clapped and cheered because it comes out of nowhere and you kind of expected it a little bit, but because they don't really play it up as much in the movie, but when it happens, everyone just like cheered. Yeah, I really enjoyed the movie. I kind of I kind of just want to rewatch it, not in the theaters, but just to see the other little parts I can catch that just, you know, throws back to the TV show.
Cool. Layton, same questions. Like, did you grow up on Power Rangers? And what's your thoughts about the film?
I did grow up on Power Rangers, actually. I used to watch it Friday afternoons. You know, I didn't have cable, but because it was on cable for me. My aunt had cable, and I would go over to her place Fridays to watch it. And I loved it. I had not seen anything like it before. And, you know, I remember seeing the original, well, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie. What was that, like late 90s? I thought that movie was fine because I was still in the fandom at the time. Looking around, it's not a very good movie. But this movie, actually, it kind of takes all the... It actually is pretty good. I mean, it really updates the Power Rangers for... for the 21st century. I actually think that I would kind of say my issue with it is that it is a lot of intro. You know, like it's like a TV show where I almost want another 45 minutes of development because, you know, there's a lot of intro, a lot of setting up the characters, a lot of training, and then they kind of just rush to the big battle and the ending. You know, Rita kind of goes out, you know, they have that one big battle last 20 minutes and she's done. And, well, maybe she's done. And I thought I was, I didn't think she was badass enough. But I don't think, you know, I really like the characters. I really like the training. I think this is a great setup. Even the stuff with, they kind of even gave Zordon sort of some sort of, you know, is he all the way good or not? I like that stuff. It wasn't easy for these characters to come and become friends. I like that they made, you know, Morphin a big deal, which was a big deal in this movie. Special effects look good. I don't know which thing John was referring to, but I really like the... There's a cameo at the end that I enjoyed.
Oh yes, I remember. And that's there was something else.
Okay.
John is talking about the product placement that was taking place.
No.
By the way, very good product placement in that movie.
Yeah. Doesn't that remind you of Man of Steel product placement? It's just there always, like the IHOP.
The IHOP thing. Yeah.
But you're talking about the guitar riff. I would assume that looks kind of
Yes, the guitar riff. Yeah, yes.
That looks way out of place in the movie, but just
yes,
at the time,
it is.
I'm so hyped that I'm ready to enjoy it. Because like it literally is like flat. I almost thought that they took it from the 1990s TV show. It looks so like similar. I like the characters. I like the special effects. I like the build to the next movie. I like after credits thing there because it kind of sets up the what's going to happen in the sequel. I'm glad this movie is looking to do well. And I like also that it's pretty much five brand new actors that I've not really seen before. They all look great. They all acted great. They're all different looking. I was kind of enjoying that too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like some new energy.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys. Like the energy is really cool about like how all these actors and actors they portrayed these characters in the 90s who were technically probably one note in this television show. Like they all had like a specific characteristic. And although like granted like the characters on the film were painted with like broad strokes, at least they had little subtleties in their characteristics. And I found like their camaraderie really refreshing. And overall like their chemistry is just really great. I can imagine like even during filming, they probably... had an actual like deep relationship, a friendship with one another. I've seen them on like interviews and they seem like they enjoy each other's company. It does remind me of like what John said, like how what they did with like the Star Trek franchise when they rebooted it. You got all these like talented actors portraying these characters and I can't wait until the next film because I feel like they have something here. Like Layton, you're kind of right. It does feel like they they concentrate too much on their origins, and the fact that it literally is like probably like the last 20 minutes, the third act, where they actually see them morph into their ranger suits and you see the Zords. I always forget what they're, yeah. And then like you see everything, all what you imagine back in the 90s of how they, you know, they're put together and whatnot. So that's kind of cool. Other than that, yeah, like I felt like the actors at least showed empathy with the characters. Like we felt like these characters were going through like tough times and their struggles. And like you said, Layton, like with Zordon's character, you don't know if he is good or bad. And even with these characters, like there is also, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there is a revelation towards like the Pink Ranger and like what she has done that was like kind of bad. And I thought like that's kind of cool, like they took it in like a contemporary way where these teenagers are actually going through like what teenagers are going through in high school with, you know, the internet and texting and whatnot. I thought like, okay, like at least when you're a teenager watching this, you sort of have that message of like, you know, I think what Jason says, the Red Ranger, like we have all make mistakes or something like that.
Yeah.
And, like it's what you do in the future that matters. Like, you know, like we could like leave those mistakes behind. And I was like, okay, it feels like they're speaking directly to teenagers and they're all their mistakes when they what they do in high school. I do really like their ties with their families. Like I don't remember in the original show, you don't see any of their parents, right?
I don't think so.
You don't. I don't, and it always felt like they can go out and do whatever they want, and no one will say anything to them in the TV show.
Yeah, like there's no curfew.
yeah, there's no curfew. No one's worrying about anything.
Yeah, at least with this show, you have parents who are worrying, and you have parents who actually are trying to like help you with your future and everything. But yeah, overall, I felt like this was a really good start for a film franchise. And yeah, like Elizabeth Banks played the villain well, even though I feel like she doesn't really have enough, like, like Leighton said, like, she's not that powerful. It feels like you could just, like, kill her off in, like, one, you know,
well,
one.
It felt like, yeah, it went as long as the Power Rangers can morph, you can stop Elizabeth Banks. I have no idea how the other Power Rangers beforehand didn't stop her. Something happened, mm-hmm. I guess.
Well, she is she's on the moon, so.
In the backstory of the,
oh, okay,
in the movie,
okay.
the first 5 minutes. Like, I wonder what made them fall to her. Like,
What
was the themed, what was the themed monster that defeated them this time?
Yeah. Oh, that is true. Like, they never revealed what really destroyed them.
It just
destroyed
like
all the dinosaurs.
Yeah, yeah.
they killed off all the dinosaurs. Yeah. That was kind of cool. Like, I think John mentioned this, that Bryan Cranston's Zordon, when he is in his like form in the beginning, it kind of feels like a shout out to the original Zordon, like the blue face and everything.
Oh, in the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah, so, the original Mighty Morphin.
When they break
Power
the
Rangers.
Crystal or something.
Yeah, I felt like Bill Hader's Alpha 5 was cool, but at the same time, it wasn't as funny as I want him to be. He does have those little oh hi yi yi type of moments, but overall he's more like a smartass in the whole film than anything else. Which is cool. It's a good play on the character, but it wasn't as fun. I think they could have done more smartass jokes in there. Have you guys watched the director's Dean Israelites' other film,
Almanac?
Yeah, the Almanac. Yeah.
No, I don't know that.
So that one's more like an MTV style movie where there's like a music montage every minute. I mean,
Project Almanac. Yeah, I saw that movie. I'm sorry, the time travel movie. Yes. Yes, I remember that movie. It was okay. I actually kind of liked it.
Yeah, it was okay. Yes.
Okay, so because I've never watched it, and I was always wondering if that like his style was the same style in Project Almanac, even though that was like a first person.
It is a first person. They were videotaping each other all the time.
Yeah, there are some cool sequences in here, especially in the beginning. In the beginning, they took a lot of styles from, like, you know,
that car chase scene.
Yeah, the car chase scene where the camera's just like rotating in circles. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, I remember they did that for I think it was Dawn of the Planet of the Apes with the tank scene where
I do not remember that.
You don't remember? That was a cool scene when the tank was like going towards the humans' base. The apes were attacking. Yeah. But yeah, overall, I really liked. I think I would highly recommend, especially for those who are like fans of the original. I don't think they will be disappointed at all. Like, I feel like this one adds to the nostalgia, and then that you also like there's nothing about it that I feel like is like doesn't make the original, I guess, the original thing, the original property like bad or anything. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but it adds more to the characters and whatnot. But yeah, I guess overall, we all highly recommend it. I don't know if you guys want to talk about spoilers. I'll give us like 5 minutes really quick. So it's open to spoilers. So if you're listening to this right now, please stop listening. John, do you have any spoilers about?
I don't know. It, Layton was saying, yeah, it's that guitar riff in the middle when they show the dinosaurs running towards Angel Grove. And then I could do without the actual comedy beat to it because no one really laughed at it, but more people cheered because that song came on. And yeah, they don't play that song at all. Even their little like phones don't do that. They don't do that at all. So everyone's like, it was building up to that moment. And I totally forgot they do that in the TV show. And when they actually showed it and that theme song played, I was like, oh, that's cool, like that. But they do it real quickly. And then all of a sudden Kanye West's Power comes on. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I noticed that. No, I don't really have anything spoiler-wise to mention other than, I guess, you know, they do set up the next movie with the Tommy Oliver stuff and the green jacket. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm interested to see where they're going to go. No hint on who the new next villain is going to be, though. I assume it's Lord Zedd.
No. Yeah, same here. I think it's Zedd.
Again. I want them to do a new villain. I feel like they should do a villain that was, like, part of the... I'm thinking about somewhat another villain, but yeah, Zedd would actually be a good villain.
And Goldon had like a girlfriend.
Yeah, I was thinking about Goldon.
Goldon had like a girlfriend or someone that like a scorpion.
Yeah, I forgot what was her name.
Something with scorpions. I know that.
It's kind of odd.
The bad part is if they go down that road, then we have these comic relief side characters like that pig guy. I don't know his name. the thing. Yeah,
Vulcan Skull.
The which one?
Bulk and Skull.
No. There was like a pig villain that Rita had.
Oh yeah, but you do have like the comic relief will be Bulk and Skull.
Oh yes, they actually show like two characters at the ending when they're doing that detention scene moment where all of them are in detention. They showed two characters. They don't show the face, but they look like Bulk and Skull in the corner, and they're just playing with the table. And I was like, are these characters will be introduced? That like they didn't have time to actually introduce these characters, so they probably will have them in the next movie. And it's just odd because I heard this franchise will do 6 movies, and I can't imagine them being high school kids for 6 movies.
Gotta move fast.
You're right, yeah.
Yes, unless they do the thing like in the TV show where you pass it on to the next generation. And then,
I thought it'd actually be cool if they do that.
Yeah.
So we would probably say there would be 2 trilogies, and the end of the first trilogy, they'll pass on the baton because they're probably going to college at that point.
Mm-hmm. When the Green Ranger is introduced in the TV show, was there 6 Power Rangers, or does he take a place of someone else? I forgot how that works.
There were six.
Okay.
Remember, the Green Ranger added on to the suit of the Megazord.
And then the Green Ranger was a bad guy in the first couple.
Yeah, at first. Like, turns White Ranger.
Yeah, well, so I mean, that's kind of what they did here, because, you know, they're saying Rita was a Green Ranger, and she turned bad.
Yep,
Yeah, it kind of like is a little bit like a shout out to that, the original show where Rita was bad and whatnot.
I also like the silliness of them still wearing their colors when they're outside. Like they still wear yellow, blue, red. I was like, oh, okay, they're still keeping it with the TV show.
You know what's weird about that is like that's one of the things I was concentrating in the film is like, are they gonna keep it consistent of their colors? But no, Blue Ranger was wearing a yellow headband.
In one scene, yeah.
They
even had, like, the Pink Ranger wear this weird neck thing because they can't have her always wear pink, so they have, like, subtlety of pink on her. And, she was wearing this, like, necklace thing that was pink.
But, I don't know, I think that was her shirt. It was, like, a web type of I don't know. I don't know anything about fashion, so I guess that's it. But, yeah, I thought, like, I don't have anything to spoil to. Aside that this episode is actually sponsored by Krispy Kreme. So Krispy Kreme, a delicious treat for you and I. Okay. other than that, thank you, Leighton, for joining us for this episode. Where can they find you online?
Well, twitter.com is LeightGordon, LeightGordon. On Letterboxd, I've been trying to put all the movies I've seen recently there. So I'll be updating that soon, and I'll be up to date. I think I'm up to like 20, not 20, but around 20 movies.
This year?
This year. I've been trying to go two times a weekend. But I was in Cabo last weekend, so I missed out last weekend. And so, yeah, I'm back.
Are you going to play catch up?
I only saw one movie this weekend. So,
okay.
Yeah. I tried doing that, but it's tough for me.
It's what happens when you're single and don't have any kids. It's what you can do.
Oh, no.
So this is the first time in like years since I had my kids that I actually watched one movie for every weekend this month. And I was like really surprised that I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Is it because they're they're grown up now, and then you could watch some of the movies with them now?
Yeah, some of them. And then
you watch Power Rangers with
and
them.
And then they're old enough where with the babysitter, where they can just, you know, they could do whatever, they can watch TV and not be too concentrated on their survival.
And where else? I think did I cut you off there?
No. Just reach out to me on Twitter and Letterboxd and all that stuff. Yeah.
Cool. John, where can they find you?
Just on Twitter, AbayArts. That
cool.
Is it.
you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Benjamin Abaya. You can find all of us on thefreakingawesome.com. You can find past episodes. I think Leighton was on a previous episode last year.
Yes.
I forgot what we reviewed on that episode, but I'd say go and try to listen to that one. Other than that, you could contact us on email at contacts@thefreakingawesome.com if you have any questions, remarks, recommendations, anything. You can find our episodes on iTunes or any other streaming podcast devices, which I don't know. I think John knows more about that than I do.
Freaking awesome stuff or things.
We have a Twitter called
not that.
Okay.
The list.
Oh yeah. I was gonna end that with the
before. Oh, okay, sorry. Interrupted.
You can find us on Twitter at TFA Now. It's not The Force Awakens Now, it's The Freaking Awesome Now. So TFA Now. I don't know if that confused anybody right now. you can find our episodes there too. We tweet them out, and you know, we retweet whoever. Before we leave, Leighton, you had an entire episode to think about this.
Yes.
So what would you want to add to the 17 freaking awesome things in 2017? Right now we have Resident Evil 7, Biohazard, the photographer Ren Hong, the film Get Out, and the television show Return of Samurai Jack.
So I'm surprised this is not on your list yet, but I definitely think John Wick 2 needs to be on the list as one of the most awesome things to see. The original was great. This one is as good. It really expands the universe of assassins there. Just beautiful fight choreography. Totally worth seeing.
What are your thoughts? Because the director of the first one is directing Atomic Blonde.
I heard
that. What are your thoughts
about that? Yeah, I'm hyped for that too.
Okay.
So that guy is like he used to be like a fight coordinator, and now he's, you know, he's directing these movies. So I'm real hyped to see it.
Yes. I wanted to see him like doing a fight coordination with what's the Ombok? I think they're probably old now, but if only, huh?
I don't know.
Tony Jaa.
Yeah, Tony Jaa, yes. Like him and whatnot. But I know they're making. I know he's making a film. I forgot what it was. I think they're. I don't know if they're fight corners, but the actors from like The Raid.
That was
Yeah. Other than that, cool. That's a cool thing on the list. John Wick Chapter 2. So I'm going to put that on the list. Thank you, Gordon. Thank you, Leighton. So that's about it. Thank you for listening. I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
I'm Leighton Gordon.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.